Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hear the background music? Hi, everyone. This is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago with a live studio audience. Woo! Whoa, that was great. It's late in the home. But we have a live studio audience and still no music. Why? We are approaching Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av, and we don't listen to music at this time. So we cut the intro and outro music. I know it's painful. Isn't that a great song? But God willing, next week we will be back with the intro and outro songs by Rabbi Avram Fried, Achim Benefesh. Got to give him a shout out for that beautiful song that welcomes us. All right, we had Project 615 had an amazing, incredible, unbelievable Shabbos here in West Rogers Park. It's always gratifying when our home is literally packed to the gills with Jewish young professionals who could literally be doing anything they want in downtown Chicago. Any bar, any club, and they make the trek up to the Jewish community here in West Rogers Park for an unbelievable, incredible, and awesome Shabbos. And so we are very gratified that people are plugging in to Shabbos and very blessed to have so many incredible students, really young professionals who are participating. Now, of course, as of Thursday morning, my wife Suri asked me, how many people are we having? I had 9 people had signed up, so it'll be a quiet week. Maybe order for 15. Well, when the RSVPs are burgeoning by 30 the next day, this is how it rolls, and such a blessing. And many, many spent the whole Shabbos. We have incredible 25-hour club swag hoodies that we have a great picture on. If anyone's on WhatsApp, you could check the status. Very, very special. Okay, that is what's going on. This also was an incredible week this past week. Rabbi Marcus of Project 613 and I traveled to Lakewood, New Jersey for a conference of Olami rabbis. Olami is the larger group of Jewish outreach professionals that we are a part of. They have they're an incredible organizational movement with over 300 different organizations in literally, I think, 5 continents. Olami means worldwide, and that's really what it means. We're worldwide. And so Project 613 is a proud card-carrying member of the Olami Network. So we had a mini rabbinic conference, not everyone in North America, but some, and it gave us a beautiful chance to get together, to learn Torah, to practice and share different, you know, outreach strategies and the best way to reach this next generation, to inspire them with Torah, with Judaism, and everything. So one of the talks was absolutely incredible. I mean, all the talks were incredible. One of them was sticks out in my mind, by Rabbi Aaron Cutler. Now, if anyone knows the yeshiva world, Cutler is a name associated with the Lakewood Yeshiva. Rav Aaron Cutler was the founder of Lakewood Yeshiva, and Lakewood Yeshiva in New Jersey basically became an empire. It became an entire city and all the surrounding towns as well of Orthodox Jews who have Torah at the center core of their lives. And Rabbi Aaron Cutler is a grandson of the original of Aaron Cutler. And Rabbi Aaron Cutler is the CEO of BMG, Beit Medrash Gavoa, Beth Medrash Gavoa, the main yeshiva, and boy, oh boy, he could run any Fortune 500 company. He is savvy, worldly, and absolutely fascinating to listen to. I've heard him speak several times before, and he is a tremendously successful person and guided by Torah. So he sat us down. We had the pleasure of having time with him, which is a very difficult commodity to get. Obviously, a very busy CEO running a corporation of, 10,000 students, a massive budget, and really, really an absolutely unbelievable executive and person. So he had this room of outreach rabbis, and he basically laid into us. He said, the world is melting down, and what are you guys doing about it? What the world is literally melting down in front of us. And who else is going to explain to the Jewish people how to make sense of this? How are we going to interpret the occurrences of today that seem totally inexplicable? Who else but us? We are the ones that is our charge to interpret the craziness of this world and how it makes sense, that there's a plan, that everyone should stay calm, and that we really have the goods, because people today are searching for meaning. But who's providing that meaning? Who is providing that meaning? Who can explain the world to people? People are thirsty for meaning. And he said something very powerful, and I believe it's very true. He said, people want to belong to something. People want to have meaning in their lives. So much so, they would support brutal murderers and rapists. People are longing for meaning and purpose so much that they would support Hamas. And we've seen it. And so that is our job as outreach rabbis, is to do what? To explain how Torah, how Judaism, how our religion, our people, we've got the answers. We have the traditions, the teachings to provide meaning and purpose to those who are desperately seeking it. And this podcast is the first shot, first salvo over the bow. And the reason why it resonates with me is because I believe fundamentally that's really what this podcast is all about, is that we're interpreting what's happening in the world and trying to show the deeper meaning from a Jewish perspective. Okay, so let's dig down. Let's dig down to the sources where people think that this is going to be the source of who can explain the world to them, who can provide meaning for them. And we don't need to look very far. It's 2024, and we have a presidential election coming up. And I know that people are vehement about one side or the other. And I think if we all asked each other, we would fall somewhere in the category of one side representing our values more than the other, wherever you may fall out. But looking from 30,000 feet, there's something that we cannot lose sight of, is that politics is not the vehicle to world perfection. It's just not. Who controls the Congress and who controls the White House is important, but it is not the vehicle through which the world will reach its perfection. And it's not the vehicle through which individual people will find their individual perfection and their individual purpose and meaning in life. And so much of the Jewish moral verve and drive, we Jews have a moral funny bone. We have a thirst for morality that can't be quenched. And the big sponge that sucks up all of our moral sensitivities is, who are you going to vote for? And folks, the greatest moral category is not who you're going to vote for. It's how you speak to the people you disagree with. How you treat other people is much more important than who you'll vote for. And so you have this tremendous irony of this Jewish moral thirst among Jews, and it's captured by the political process, and it will end up violating so many laws of interpersonal relationships of the Torah because of their politics. It's ridiculous. They'll speak Lashon Hara, evil speech about other people, even worse, slander about other Jews. They'll break close familial relationships because of an election. that is not ultimately significant. And so when we approach this election, the most important barometer of the election is how are we going to treat other people during it? And what else? What else? Who else is not going to be our source of explaining the world to us? Well, certainly not the press. The press, when I grew up, might have been slightly biased, but they basically had the goal of telling the truth. You cannot listen to any news source without getting an agenda. And they don't even admit it. They're not even intellectually honest enough to admit it. They think that they are objective truth. They've lost even the sight that they're pushing one agenda or one side to the point of total dishonesty. I didn't even read the article of Time, but Time magazine and the picture of Bibi on the front cover, you know, Bibi's war. Like, I didn't read the article. Okay, they showed a picture of Bibi like he just woke up from a nap. Okay, like he's some disoriented, deranged guy. And Bibi's war, excuse me, if you ask every Israeli, they would say this is the most important war of existential existence in the entire history of the state of Israel. Bibi's war? Excuse me? I mean, it's just so biased. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. So the press and the media have given up on the cause of truth instead of searching for just their own agenda. So where else can we look? Maybe academia? Oh yeah, let's look at academia. I'm a Stanford grad. I'm almost embarrassed in certain circles to say that I went there. Why? Because Stanford and other places, I've totally rotted to the core. And I think it's actually one of the amazing things and positive things that's come out to light with all of the pro-Hamas academics in these universities. I think it's amazing, actually, that they've been ferreted out, that sane, logical, rational people have sided with the side of the executioner, the famous quote from Albert Camus, who started this whole thing about not siding with the side of the executioner. Academia has sided with the side of the barbarians, okay? And literally Jews can't walk safely on campus, and these administrators on campus, literally no backbone, many of them Jews, can't even stand up to protect the basic safety of students on their campuses. A total moral breakdown in academia and universities. They've abandoned their moral compass and replaced it with absolutely ridiculous ideas. And so where do we turn? Where do we turn? Politics is not going to provide our ultimate meaning and purpose in life. Academia, the press has totally obfuscated any concept of searching for truth. Academia, a total meltdown. And so in the remaining, 6.5, 7 minutes, I want to put forth the outline of how Torah, how Judaism explains why in the world, why is the world melting down? Why is the world melting down, and what can we do about it? And what is our role in it? And people walk around and don't have any idea, and none of the institutions upon which we rely for guidance can actually inform us. So fasten your seatbelts, and here we go. The Torah vision of the world. Hashem, God, created the world and created man to bestow goodness upon him, upon humanity, and therefore put this human being in a world of free will to choose good over evil, to earn our goodness and closeness to Hashem. Meaning that Hashem said, all right, if you want to be close to me, you need to be like me. God is the ultimate independent agent. No one can force Hashem to do anything. We human beings become like God when we make our positive moral decisions. When we assert our inner innate neshama, our goodness, over the physical world and choose the moral correct choice. And therefore, we fundamentally become good people. That's what we're here for, to use our free will to choose goodness. Now, what is the basis of that goodness? If you would ask Hitler, it would mean killing Jews is good. If you would ask certain communists, it would mean starving massive amounts of population. We're doing a mitzvah. No, there is a divinely revealed order and content of what is called good. Okay? And the Jewish people have been the best purveyors of those ideas throughout world history. The Ten Commandments: thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal / kidnap, should believe in God, etc. Honor your parents, keep the Shabbos, no coveting. Obviously, I'm not saying these in order, but these are the fundamental principles that Hashem says, do this and don't do this. And through that positive exercising of our free will, we will become good people and will become close to the Almighty. Now, this period of this world was only supposed to last for 6 days, 6 epochs, let's put it that way. However, Adam and Eve had a little bitty sin of eating from the tree in the garden, and therefore developed a cause the death process to come into the world, and therefore delayed the perfection process of the world. So instead of having 6 days of creation and 1 day of Sabbath, we are going to have 6,000 years of weekdays and 1,000 years of Shabbos. And folks, guess where we are right now? We are in the year 5784, which means, if you do the math, we have finished 96.5% of history. And if you put that on a football field, that means we're on the 3.5-yard line. We are on the 3.5-yard line of history. Now, what happens at the end of history is we believe that there is a messianic process. There will be a Messiah, what we call Mashiach, the anointed one. He will be a king, just like King David and King Solomon were anointed with oil. King Saul as well. Mashiach just means anointed with oil was the procedure of crowning a Jewish king. We will have a Mashiach, an anointed one, who will be a leader, a political leader, a military leader from the line of King David, who will bring the world to its final perfection and redemption. And what does that redemption mean? What is it? The rabbis gave 2 main analogies to how this redemption process will happen. One is, they call the Tzmichat HaMashiach, the sprouting of Messiah. Now, how does sprouting work? You put a seed in the ground and the seed rots. It rots to the core. And if you would look at it and you wouldn't know how this growth process happened, you'd say, oh my gosh, it's over. That seed died. And right when you think the seed is dead, that's when the shoot of new life comes out. And that explains why the world is melting down. Every source in our Torah and our Talmud talks about the end of days being a time of moral meltdown, of lack of moral clarity, that people will be chutzpahdik. There will be no respect for anyone. This fits. It fits what is happening. No one can even listen to each other. The amount of chutzpah in the world is unbelievable. And the second main analogy that the rabbis give for the redemptive process and the messianic process is called Mechevle Mashiach. Chevle Mashiach, the birth pangs of the Messiah. And we know, well, maybe half of us know, that the darkest and most painful time is right before birth, that the birth pangs get harder and faster and more painful right before the end. And if you had a Martian come down and look at a woman in the process of giving birth, he would say, oh my gosh, this woman, chas v'shalom, God forbid, is about to die. She's in death throes and lunging and this. And right at that moment, not only is she not close to death, she is actually bringing life forth. And therefore, the rabbis use this analogy that the darkest times in our history is the harbinger, is the foreshadowing. It's the Messiah is right around the corner. New life is going to be reborn. And therefore, you'll see a clear pattern. After the darkest tragedies of our people, there's always been a messianic movement, because we say to ourselves, how much darker could it get? How much darker could it be? And so we are left now in a world that has melted down, but we're not afraid. We can stay calm and keep going on, because we know that this is the pattern. We know that we're on the 3.5-yard line of history, that there's a goal line defense of the forces of evil that want us to stop the messianic process. And it is our job as Jews to take on more mitzvot, to take on more commandments and to more observance, because that's the way that we choose moral goodness. That's what our challenge is now. We cannot get distracted by everything going on in the world. We need to keep focused. We're on the 3.5-yard line. We can't be looking around and say, oh, look, there's popcorn in the stands and everything else is irrelevant. This is the time of the Jewish people to become focused on our national core mission to be the people of God. That is moral clarity. That is what we are doing here at Project 613 and this rabbinic conference. We are trying our darndest to get people to plug into our national mission of being moral Jews. And with that light, we'll bring a tremendous light, the light of Mashiach, of Messiah, that will really bring a world of perfection and peace to all of humanity. This Monday night begins Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, and we're going to be in a state of mourning for the temples that have been destroyed and all of the tragedies and calamities that have befallen us. And as we're sitting on the floor and we're saying dirges about our past, that is the process of the new redemption sprouting forth. As the Talmud says, the Messiah is born on Tisha B'Av, God willing. With the world melting down, Jews are not afraid and we're not distracted from our mission. God willing, may the Messiah truly be born this Tisha B'Av. God bless, and we'll see you again next week with music for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.